Our guest this morning, let's hope I get everybody right here, to discuss climate strike activities are Barrett O'Brien. You're the creative director for the activities tomorrow, correct?
I am for the Ashland-based portion of the activities. The activities span wide and far.
Okay. And we have Elizabeth Vyden here, and Elizabeth is a student at South Medford High. Mm-hmm. Go Panthers, right? And then we have Veronica Silva, the bilingual youth and community organizer for Rogue Climate.
Yes, good morning.
The long title, but there it is. This is the second of these events. Is that correct? The first was a few months ago worldwide. And tell us a little bit about what we can expect for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, the walkouts are youth demonstrating that we care about the impact of climate change in our communities and want to see our leaders act to combat climate change. So youth in the Rogue Valley are leading climate walkouts in Medford, Phoenix, and Ashland to demand that Governor Kate Brown stops Jordan Cove LNG and passes an Oregon Green New Deal. So on Friday, September 20th, youth are leaving school around 10:30, depending on the school, and there'll be a youth-led rallies in Medford and Ashland and Phoenix, the Medford one at Vogel Plaza at around 10:30, and Ashland at the Plaza, and Phoenix at the City Hall around 10:45.
When I was a young man and I would leave school, I never announced it because, you know, you get in trouble. is there some support, official or unofficial, for students to participate in this?
I think it really depends on the teacher. No, like, official support, but, I mean, some staff members seem kind of supportive, but we're really just have clear demands for Governor Kate Brown to stop the Jordan Cove LNG and move forward with the Oregon Green New Deal, and willing to miss school for that.
And this event, I was looking at the map, and it's worldwide. Folks will be participating in it. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know why the climate strikes. I mean, you touched on some of those things. Obviously, there's an information purpose to let people know that there are concerned citizens out there. But how is climate change affecting people, and what do you hope to see change with this?
I think that is a great question. So we know that climate change is already impacting communities around the globe. And what's beautiful about these strikes from Ashland and Phoenix and Medford is that they're joining other strikes across the state, like in Klamath Falls and Coos Bay, which are also part of more than 1,000 youth climate strikes happening tomorrow here in the U.S. and thousands more across the globe. So we see that young people are leading the fight for their own futures, right? So we know that climate change is impacting communities already now. And we know that it's impacting different communities in different ways. So youth are some of the folks being most impacted because this is their futures. It's also impacting folks from low-income communities, rural communities, and communities of color, disproportionately more so than other communities. So it's really amazing to see all of these youth leading work. And I think that is why there's the emphasis on climate and demand for action now.
I noticed just in looking at that global map that it includes some places where there have already been some profound effects of climate change on folks and their socioeconomic status. They're often in poor regions already, and climate change can certainly impact them maybe in a proportionally much higher way. Tomorrow, let's talk a little bit about the creative aspect of it. Who's going to be here?
Well, I bring the arts to the table because I feel like for this movement to move forward at the pace and excitement that it wants to move forward, bringing in everyone to the table is key. So for this, we're not just going to be only holding signs and saying what we need. We're also going to be celebrating the fact that this is already in transition, that these new energy movements are already happening, that the consciousness is already spreading. Like Veronica said, there are 1,033 events happening in 142 countries. This is a movement and a wave that is already in motion. So this, I'm bringing to it theater, music, poetry, and speeches tomorrow at the Lithia Bandshell from noon to 4 p.m. We have people bringing spoken word and poetry and guitar and cello and piano to raise everyone's spirits. Because if we sit back and think, oh my gosh, these problems are insurmountable, we're going to go into a place of non-action. But when we lift our joy and mm-hmm. come together as a community, we realize that we can do anything. And so what I'm doing as creative director is bringing that joy to the stage at the Lithia Park Band Shell. And along with many other artists and speakers, we're going to do that.
On the line with us now is Rachel in Medford, and she has a question. Go ahead, Rachel.
Hi. Well, first off, I just want to say, like, how incredible it is that young people are planning all these walkouts. But my question is, unfortunately, I have work on Friday, so I'm not going to be able to make it to the rallies that you're planning. So I was wondering, what can I do if I don't get out of work until 5 on Friday so I can still participate in this really cool day?
Good question.
Great.
What can she do?
There is so much you can do. So tomorrow is just the first day in the Global Climate Week of Action. So that'll be September 20th through 27th. So it's meant to be the kickoff. And born out of that idea that lots of folks are not able to walk out of work or school, there is an evening event. It's called Unidos Fiesta for Climate y Comunidad. It's happening in Medford, so it's really close to you. That's at 5:30 to 8 p.m., and there will be celebration like Barrett talked about, action like Eliza talked about, and it brings together folks from across the Rogue Valley for live music and baile folclórico from a local troupe called Baile Folclórico Ritmo Alegre. There will be kids' games and art, and it'll be just a great way for community to come together and uplift the voices of those being most impacted. So I hope to see you there.
And did you say where it was at?
Where is Medford is this?
Oh, great question. Sorry. It is in Pear Blossom Park, which is downtown Medford.
All right.
Awesome. Thanks.
Okay,
and to add to that, too, I'd like to also mention that Southern Oregon Climate Action now has their general meeting on the 24th at the Medford Library from 6 to 7:30, where Jacob Lebel, a plaintiff in Juliana versus the United States, is going to be speaking. So just to add to Veronica's week of climate actions, there are a lot of opportunities to get involved if you're not one who has the opportunity to step out of class or work that day.
I know no one here is probably an expert on the United Nations, but this is all tied into the meeting that begins on Monday. Can one of you talk a little bit about what's happening with that? And obviously, the timing makes sense to be doing the walkout now with that meeting on Monday. But anybody know?
Absolutely. Well, the week of climate action, and last September was also a month of climate action, and we're kind of choosing the organizers, which are worldwide, are choosing these very opportune times to bring this to the forefront. And you ask, why walk out of class? Why do this? What are we doing? This kind of global attention with the citizens and with the media brings attention to the things like you say in New York City. And brings attention to the thing like the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which gives us, 11 years now? We had 12 years. We have 11 years. It's just a continual attention grabber, a continual thing that this is not a topic that we can ignore. And going into the talks in New York on Monday, this is a very specifically chosen time to be having these walkouts and strikes and rallies and celebrations.
I think what's also really strategic about how the youth are placing this timing is that they always have clear demands, right? So I think it is, of course, they are walkouts, but they're always paired with very clear demands from our elected leaders. And it means a lot when you have thousands of youth show up, right? It can sway the entire decision of a room. And for instance, the youth here in Southern Oregon are calling for Governor Brown, right? So that's a local demand to support an Oregon Green New Deal and to deny the Jordan Cove LNG pipeline. So they always have clear demands wherever they're happening globally. So they're very strategic and beautiful.
If my generation made a mess, you'd like me to clean it up so you don't have to? Is that what you're saying? That's part of it, isn't it?
I don't understand your question. I'm sorry. Yeah. Your generation?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, it seems like when youth step in, mm-hmm. and I'm dealing all the way back to when I was young in the 60s, when youth step in, you know, they're to protest something that their elders have not dealt with or are not seeing or are sacrificing things for economic gain or something like that.
Eliza, do you feel that? Do you feel like it's talking to the older generation, you guys messed up, fix this, or is it B, we're all in this together, let's just stop blaming and move forward? What do you feel, and what does your generation feel?
I really think it's both, that we need to work together to solve this crisis, but also we're trying to call out the older generation and the people in like leadership, like Kate Brown, to, in a way, fix the problem that they created, but also we want to work together to solve this, because though it will really affect my future, it does affect, I mean, we're already seeing the effects of climate change now, and so it is affecting all of us right now. So, yeah, I think it's a problem for everyone.
Let me ask the sort of the grumpy pessimist question. We know what activities are going to be done. What difference will it make? Will it have a big impact, you hope, in the long run?
Yes. Yes. We have the solutions. We just need the will. If you read the Drawdown book or even spend a little time with it, it's a very big book, we realize that the solutions are here. We have the renewable energy solutions, the social justice solutions. Now it's a matter of putting the will into practice and moving forward. It's not too late. It is not too late. And when you look at the numbers, over 1,000 companies supporting this day of action, 73 unions, 5,000 websites participating in a digital climate strike, you see that the global movement is strong and it's happening, and we have time and we can do this. So I am not pessimistic. I think our future is beautiful, and we just need to really get to work.
So this is grassroots trying to influence some of the bigger companies to step up to the plate and really work on this.
And Google and Amazon have already put forward that they're having many employees that are striking tomorrow and walking out of work. So there's a lot of allies in big corporations as well.
To join our discussion this morning, give us a call at 800-838-3760, or you can send us an email at jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk a little bit about the influence of grassroots. You touched on that there and trying to influence people. I think especially for youth, you don't have the same type of power that adults do. And we mentioned a little bit about how people look to youth when they show up in large numbers. They pay attention. I mean, what are you hoping that we get out of a grassroots movement from youth?
I'm really just hoping that people listen to us, that we have these clear demands, which is to move forward with the Oregon Green New Deal and stop Jordan Cove LNG. And we need that our leaders to listen to us and listen to youth and understand that we have a voice, though we do often have, we can't vote and often take a backseat in discussions, but we really care about this issue and we have a voice and people need to listen to it.
I would also like to push back on that idea.
Okay.
That youth do not have power. So part of climate justice, so are you familiar with that term, climate
Yes.
justice? Great. So it's the idea that the folks being most impacted are the ones leading the work, right? So just to reiterate, those being most impacted by climate change are rural communities, low-income communities, communities of color, and youth. And so we, as adults who have been granted power by society, we have to remember that, of course, youth have power, right? They have power just by being and through their lived experiences. And so that's what part of climate justice is pausing as adults and saying, actually, of course the youth have power, right? Like, this is such an incredible movement. And throughout history, so much change has been made, led by youth, right? So I think that's one of those kind of those narratives that helps keep power differences. And so I would like to push back on that idea and just remind everyone, right? Like, we are all so capable of coming together and making changes like what the youth are going to do tomorrow and continuing on into the future.
And speaking of continuing on into the future, what kind of activities go on throughout the year in addition to the strike? Are there things that you have sort of behind the scenes that you work on all year long?
Yeah, so I am the bilingual youth and community outreach organizer for Rogue Climate. We are an organization here in the Valley focusing on climate justice. So there are always things. Please come plug in. If you want more information, you can visit our website at rogueclimate.org. And just next week, right, we have film screenings that are led and planned by community members and youth. There are so many things constantly happening. Milt, I'm glad you asked.
And similar, so my commitment as a theater artist is to do theater artists that's for a sustainable world, our sustainable future. And all the artists that are going to be playing at the Bandshell from 12 to 4, I've asked because each of them has a similar commitment to a more sustainable future, to a more just future. Cedric Lamar, Universes, Daniel Sperry, these are all artists who enjoy making art, absolutely, but are just as committed to a sustainable future. So for the next 12 months, there's all sorts of music and theater planned that speaks to this movement. And that's what I plan to bring to the table. So I have a play called Water Made to Rise, which we're going to be bringing back in January to run in Ashland. It's all about, it's an allegory for the future of a sustainable climate.
Well, today we've had our guests. I'd like to thank them for being here today. We had Barrett O'Brien, you're the artistic director for this, Veronica Silva, and Eliza Vaiden. Did I get everybody's name right?
Absolutely, yeah. Milt. Thank you so much for having us.
Well, it's been great having you here, and good luck with this. One final quick question. Is this going to be a yearly event or twice yearly, since it's happened twice in the last few months? Do you know?
We are following the lead of youth on this. Okay. So this was adults taking action because the youth were asking for support. So I can't imagine that they will stop with this. And I hope to see everybody tomorrow at the walkouts. Adults, please come, show up, support. And please come to the fiesta, which is at night. There will be banda, aguas frescas, baile folclórico, and kids games at 5:30 p.m. And thank you.
All right.
Thanks, Milt.
Thank you. And coming up... In just a bit here, we'll be looking at this month's segment of Underground History.